Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Live Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You got Pete and Mike across the way, Bogus, with your updates. Number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Been great throughout the course of the last 2 hours. A lot of football of many different varieties. Certainly the Kyler Murray Pro Day, AB, Antonio Brown getting introduced by the Oakland Raiders, everything surrounding the Odell Beckham Jr. trade from the New York Giants to the Cleveland Browns. Let's get into it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Giants GM Dave Gettleman on OBJ trade.
Yeah, and what he said was the New York Football Giants would like to thank Odell Beckham Jr. for his contributions. We truly wish him well in Cleveland, and we would want to wish OV the best and nothing but success for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's we talked about it. We're like, well, what's the deal? I mean, do Giant fans deserve Gettleman to come out in person and speak to the media and get on a microphone with a camera in his face and talk about this? You know, that's what we were talking about earlier. We talked about this for a while. I mean, you know, it's kind of at the point where, like, you let a guy like this go, even though he was a headache at times. This guy's a great player, and a ton of Giant fans know the impact he makes for that offense, and he's the number one weapon for Eli Manning,
yep,
who's your quarterback who's pushing 40. And you just take him away, and now you're in total rebuild Jones here. You got to see something eventually, Mr. GM.
Well, right, and all he did was issue a statement. You know, something that you know, you've seen a lot of teams do. I think it might be of importance because of some of, I would say, the some of the Giant fans being quite bothered by the direction of the franchise. I think Gettleman clearly address those fans, whether it be 40% of the fan base, 50%, wherever the percentage might be. It's not 2%, Taz. So I think for Gettleman to know exactly what the game plan is here, because a lot of people are saying, well, if you're going to trade Odell Beckham Jr., I mean, what's the point of having Eli Manning quarterback the team? Why not cut him? Why are we paying Eli Manning $23 million?
You know,
a quarterback that's regressing, offensive line could be better. We've got Saquon Barkley. We get rid of what was perceived to be a headache for the organization off the football field, not on the field, in Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
What exactly is the direction of this Giant team? I mean, is this a complete and utter teardown? If it's a complete and utter teardown, then you've let a lot of talent go. Collins now a Redskin. Vernon and Beckham Jr. are now Cleveland Browns. And it's difficult to replace, if not impossible, to replace that kind of caliber of talent in one given offseason.
Yeah, I mean, really, what are you doing? What are you guys doing, Giants? What are you doing? Like, really, and then you got, what is it? We talked about the other day, I think it's, what is it, March 17th? They got to pay Eli, right, $5 million?
Yes, there is that roster bonus, correct.
Yeah, so at this point, do you even... And that's, what's that, Sunday? St. Patrick's Day, right?
St. Patty's Day.
So,
you going to eat corned beef and cabbage
on
Sunday?
Of course, yes. Yeah, well, we sprinkle whey protein on top of it. But,
no, are you really going to eat it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to make it?
Yeah, my wife does. She's,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, she does a great job.
No,
yeah.
I know. So just on the side.
Potatoes.
You brought,
yeah.
No, it's great. I know. So Sunday, Donna's running a 5K with Jackson.
Nice. Oh,
so
wow.
We got to get up early, go there. And so her whole family, like 35 people, right? A number of them are running.
They're all running
race.
In it?
No, a number of them are running.
Oh.
Me, Jackson, and
it's
me,
like
Gregory.
Chariots of Fire.
Right. Me, Gregory, and Paul are going to be on the sideline. I'll be having my bagel and coffee as I'm watching them run.
Go get him, honey.
So I go down. I go, so where are we going to go corned beef? She's like, oh, no Irish place would take us. So we're going to go get Italian food. I go, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Wait, no Irish place would take us.
It's like 35 people. So she's like, nobody, we called a number of places.
Too big of a party, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, no, it's St. Patrick's Day. What are you guys, insane?
Yeah. chicken parmesan.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. So as Eli's waiting for his roster bonus, I'll be having, on St. Patrick's Day, I'll be having spaghetti and meatballs.
You're eating chicken a la vodka.
Yeah. Right.
And my son will have eggplant rollatini.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Exactly right. Anyway, Beckham is a Brown, and the Giants are left in the aftermath. And for Odell Beckham Jr., Taz, you wake up, and we talked about this, you know, this free agency period and the moves they made. I don't think there's a fan base that's more ecstatic or more happy or more excited than the Cleveland Browns of what potentially they could be. You know, Myles Garrett saying on NFL Network, I wish we could start the season tomorrow. Beckham's going to be treated like a conquering hero. He's going to step in. You've got an unbelievable quarterback who's got this chip and edge on his shoulder that I adore, that I love to watch Baker Mayfield play. Yeah. So this Browns team, Taz, is going to be something to watch.
Oh, man, they really are. We went through it. You know, all the weapons they have on offense, you know, everywhere you look, I mean, they're just loaded. Their offensive line is excellent. Two excellent receivers. Oh. You know, in Beckham and Landry, both of them, Nick Chubb running the ball, and whenever Kareem Hunt is able to play, Duke Johnson, I mean, it goes on and on. Njoku at the tight end spot. I mean, defensively, they got stars there. Yeah, man, it's going to be they are going to be something to watch. I can't wait. Can't wait.
And speaking of offensive linemen,
they're not in the AFC East, thank God.
How about Joe Thomas? I know he's lost weight. He was on the NFL Network. I know you don't love Joe Thomas, but...
I know what you're going to say.
But he was on the NFL Network yesterday. I mean, Taz, I had to do like a triple take when they said it was Joe Thomas. He looks nothing...
I thought you were going to say something else. No, he's in good shape. He lost a lot of weight. Yeah, I know.
He's lost like 90 pounds.
Oh, broadcaster Jones. I mean, that's the thing.
He looks completely different. His hairline's a little strange, but he looks completely different.
Yeah, that's it. They all want to be, you know, they all want to look, you know, thinner. They're tall. They have fancy hair, nice... nice wins or not, double wins or not.
Right, the suit. They cut the suit well.
The whole thing's annoying. The pocket square, everywhere you look on TV. I want these guys wearing T-shirts. Enough. Enough with the suits. I'm sick of everybody in their custom suits. It's annoying as hell. I thought you were going to say this about Joe Thomas, because I saw something either on his Instagram or the Browns' Instagram. He said something like, I got one more game in me.
Oh.
Did I see that somewhere? Anybody else see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, now we got one more game in you, bro.
Right now,
because you got a stacked team that you left, the team that sucked.
The team's loaded, so now you want to come back and play.
Meanwhile, he was bowling for Hugh Jackson. Ugh. Nope, that's not good.
Right.
Yeah. Now he wants one more game in me. You know what? One more game.
He was an unbelievable tackle.
He was an excellent player. He really
didn't
was.
Play a meaningful game in the NFL.
When he was big and fat. Now I don't like him. As you know,
imagine playing your entire career and like literally play no meaningful football.
Not one game. Yeah, but you're playing, right? So you know.
No, you are playing, but there's no game of any significance whatsoever.
Week one,
stop. Right?
0-0.
Mike, is the team looking for that comment?
Yeah, the team is looking through the Joe Thomas social media spectrum to find that one. Right. It might take a minute.
Let's pretend Moose asked for it.
Stop.
He would have, there'd be 20 people in that control room. We got to find it. Hold on, we got to find it. I got to find it. Hold on. Yeah, that's what would be happening.
I know Billy outside.
We got to find it.
I found
it. He'd have Billy working on it. Billy. We got to Moose ask for it. Where's the Joe Thomas thing? We got to find it.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
All right.
Taz X for it?
Number two.
No, hold on. Wait.
Antonio Brown introduced as an Oakland Raider.
Taz X for what?
Yeah, no, Taz X for it. It's like, yeah, go frig yourself. That's like this morning, before we get into Antonio Brown. This morning.
Oh, here we go.
Well, this is something you don't know. So Pete the Body, you know, I walk in. I usually get this from Pete the Body. I'm like, hey, Pete, how are you? I'll say, hey, Haas, what's up? I usually get this from Pete the Body. Hey. That's what I get. Hey.
Okay.
You came in. You were sitting there. He was doing something. He walked in the control, in by our cubicles, because we don't have an office. And he said to you, hey, Moose! You're like, hey, Pete, what's up? Is that true?
That is true, yes.
And I get, hey. It's like almost like, hey, why are you here? Well, I'm a co-host of a radio show.
That's exactly what it is.
That's why I mean, it's like, hey, buddy, get out of here. Like, hey, get away from my lawn, pal. Like, it's not like, hey, Taz, hey, buddy. Nothing. It's like, hey. Every once in a while, he'll give me a... Mr. Haas, I'll get that. That's a big deal. Pete
as long
says
as
that.
We're not paying attention to it.
Then the other guys around here, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I don't think you're paying attention to it at all.
Yeah.
We'll work on it. We'll get the etiquette team.
Here is Antonio Brown. He worked yesterday with Derek Carr in a practice field. He got introduced by the Oakland Raiders. He's your new star receiver wearing number 84 in the silver and black. Here is AB and helping turn Oakland around.
I bring accountability. You know, I bring actions. You know, not what I say, what I do, you know, how I approach things, you know, holding guys accountable in the receiver room, you know, challenging guys if we drop a ball, you know, we're going to have a part, just super accountability.
Got 5 kids.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, listen, Brown went on and on. one thing he came across a lot better than he did for the last six, 7 weeks, Taz.
Some kind of sports jacket on.
Yeah,
put checkers on that thing.
He did, but if you're the Raiders, you got a big-time playmaker, and playmakers win. He wanted to change the scenery. He wanted out of Pittsburgh. They didn't give up all that much, a third and a fifth. They restructured his contract. He's a happy camper. He wants to be an Oakland Raider, Taz. And I think it became more and more clear to me yesterday. We discussed it at the time, you know, it being a work, him trying to just talk his way out of Pittsburgh. The blonde mustache is gone, Taz.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Oh. And Antonio Brown came across, realized it, gets it. That was an act. Now you look at this scenario is, you look at Antonio Brown, stepped up to the podium, understand he's assuming a leadership role out in Oakland with the Raiders, had a completely different demeanor, a completely different message.
He was like a choir boy.
He really was.
He really was. And we'll see what happens.
And you said all along, listen, year one, wherever he goes, Antonio Brown will be A-okay.
Oh, he's going to be a good guy to everybody. I even saw him, like I was saying earlier, he went to Derek Carr's house and met Derek Carr, and they were embracing. Oh, man, it was a little awkward, kind of weird conversation. Derek Carr is not you don't really know how to carry a conversation. Like, I converse, and you converse for a living, so I'm an expert on this. So are you. On people conversing and communicating. We speak for a living, and we speak eloquently and properly. So I watched Derek Carr in a conversation in his foyer of his home with Antonio Brown, and it was some of the most awkward social media posts I've seen. It was like a minute of like, these two guys are going to have a connection on the field. They can't even speak to each other. They were very respectful towards each other. They hugged. They said Raider Nation about 100 times. Raider Nation! Raider Nation! It's going to be great, right? Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I've never been in the company with Derek Carr. Well, what do you want him to do? Break down, what's going on?
Well, when you're on this route, this is what we expect, AB.
No, right.
Yeah, don't drift away. Like
great to see you. Your thoughts on what's going on down in Venezuela right now.
That's funny. Oh, my God. I don't know. It just seemed like...
No, I'm joking around
with
you.
Something. It was
I'm joking around
there.
With you. Man, Gruden is some.
You're going to love Coach Gruden, AB. You think so? DC?
By the way,
he called him DC, by the way. He called him DC. He did. Yo, DC, yo. Yo, DC, yo.
Mr. Big Chest.
Yo, DC.
Mr. Big Chest.
By the way, just for the guy by the water cooler.
Yeah.
Our social media team retweeted it. The Joe Thomas comment.
Oh, I found it.
Yeah, that was Mike. What'd you say? This is from to a fan. Joe Thomas replied to a fan.
A fan asked him, you know, to come back, and he said, "I'll give you one more game."
He said, "I got one game left in me. Just gotta wait for the right moment." Oh, Joey Thomas, stop! If that is your real name, just gotta wait for the right moment. The team is stacked, and guess what, Joe? They don't need you anymore.
All right, next
number three.
Kyler Murray's pro day in the books.
Oklahoma and six other schools, Taz, had pro days yesterday. So it wasn't just the Sooners on the start of the new NFL league year. And Kyler Murray threw the football well to the receivers he knew, to the routes he was comfortable throwing to. The footwork looked good. Did not run. You know, had a conversation with the NFL Network afterward. And here he is, Kyler Murray, talking about the fact that he is ready for the pressure that comes with being an NFL quarterback.
I'm a laid-back guy. I try not to, let the pressures of big games or anything like that get to me. So for me, it was kind of just relax, be with the guys. I got to go to practice, stuff like that. But be myself. That's all I can be. So come out here, do what we do every day, just throw routes on air, and it was fun.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
This thing was, we talked a lot about this earlier, and you could download the podcast, people. It's for free. Radio.com on the app or the website or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You get this whole show there, okay, every day, all right? This guy threw the ball at his college, for 22 minutes to his teammates in shorts and a T-shirt. All these teams were there, scouts were there, some coaches were there. And he looked great. He threw the ball, on point. For 22 minutes, which is hard to do. He didn't show a lot of fatigue, and these guys were working hard because it was rapido. It was rapid fire. Okay, he didn't run. The 40, which we were talking about this earlier, like, you don't want to run at the combine. You don't want to run at your pro day. They didn't measure his height again, and which you and I talked about. A lot of folks are now going to speculate, well, what's the deal?
Right. So why not get measured again? You did in Indianapolis. If you're 5'10 and 8th, you're 5'10 and 8th.
They don't have yardsticks in Norman, Oklahoma. I mean, the tape measures.
I don't know why you don't run, why you don't put it all out there, Taz. But he did all the throws, and you know, you're gonna look at the game film and say, well, here's the one thing. If you're Kyler Murray, you're going to tell the NFL Network afterward, well, I'm not going to run because you can watch the game film and you can see that, you know, I could elude the pass rush, you know. Then why do I have to throw? Why does anyone have to throw?
Why even, exactly. Like, why do anything at that point? You show me play, so what's me?
Right. Why do any of these guys have to do anything?
What are we doing?
You've seen me run away from defensive backs. You know I'm fast enough, so I'm not going to run.
So at the combine, you know, okay, so... Dwayne Haskins, he runs, he benches, does everything. And Drew Locke and Daniel Jones and all these quarterbacks, you know, they all do their thing, okay? But Kyler Murray, he don't have to do nothing.
No.
He just goes and gets his height done and then bails. And
does some interviews, seven teams, but then takes off.
You know, and I got to tell you another thing, too. And it sounds like I'm hating on the kid, which I'm really not. I think he's an excellent player. But he is starting to get on my nerves a little bit because, they asked him in the interview on the NFL Network about the Charlie Cashley comments.
Yeah.
They didn't say Charlie's name.
Okay.
You know, they said about, you know, people doubting. They did like an overview paraphrasing.
Okay.
And, which I thought it was good that those guys did that because he works for the network.
Right, yeah, sure.
So.
Had to be asked.
And what happened was Kyler Murray, you know, he kind of, he said the right thing. You know, like, that stuff doesn't bother me. Again, I'm paraphrasing. But he initially, I looked at his face and he kind of made like a snarky, like you could see like it he heard it and it, you, I just got a feeling if this guy is playing in a high-end market, let's say for some reason the Giants end up getting him and work their way up and get him, I don't know if this kid can handle the New York market. I'm just telling you that right now. Something tells me, and like we talked a lot earlier, he's kind of been handheld here.
Well, he has been, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it because Ryan Aber is going to join us next. The Oklahoman was at the pro day, has been around Kyler Murray, Taz. We've got some questions to ask him. Let's see what Aber provides in terms of an answer. It's Taz and the Moose on a Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
We'll chat with Ryan Aber, the Oklahoman. He was at Kyler Murray's pro day yesterday. Get his thoughts on what the Sooner quarterback showed as he gets set for the NFL draft. But first,
they see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Is this mean, like?
No, it's great. Bogus, yeah. Good morning.
Hey, Moose. How are you? Good moment.
A quick Moose answer. No, it's not mean.
Dude, I walked in this morning on the computer.
What happened?
Amy basically had everything open.
Easy.
Email, Facebook.
Easy, bro.
Twitter. It was, I closed it all out, obviously. All right. I did it properly. I didn't do anything I shouldn't have done, but I mean, responsible. You can't be doing that.
You guys get in here!
Thank you.
I mean, like... Twitter, Facebook, everything's open.
Bro, she just forgot. I could have went on a social media assault. I know. Oh my God. She'd be, could you imagine? My account got hacked!
In studio.
No. Mark Malusi.
No. I'm on SNY tonight?
No, yeah, right. Taz is thinking, Taz is like, you should have promoted the show, man.
Social media team.
That's a missed opportunity.
More importantly, she was trying to burn this thing down last night. It was 74 degrees in this room.
74.
After our first segment, I said that you walked out, and I said to, what's his name? Andrew.
Brad.
Yeah.
Tobias Keller.
I said, what's the temperature? He goes, whoa, it's 74 in here.
Flaming hot.
We never have it 74.
Wow. Right. Yesterday, I'm walking around my house. My wife doesn't like heat at night, right? Yeah. So she believes in wrap the kids in blankets and everything.
You don't like the heat at night. I don't picture you.
I like it cold.
I don't picture you liking the heat.
But it bothers like my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my dad, when they come over, they're like, my God, it's freezing here. My dad sometimes walking around with a jacket on. Yeah. I'm like.
I love it cold, too. I get it.
Yeah, it's nice.
So yesterday, I'm like, it's 62 degrees in here. I got to turn the heat up. So I put up to like 66. My wife gets home. She's like, it's warm in here.
Yeah.
She's like, who touched the thermostat? I'm like,
Donna, I couldn't feel my fingertips.
Yeah. I wear two pairs of socks. It's spring. Like, wearing thermal underwear here. Like, it's 1968. Like, what is going on here?
But we walk in here. I have a propensity to sweat anyway. Amy, every morning, the temperature's like 74, 75 degrees.
I know.
Right.
That's how my wife keeps our bedroom like that. Dude, it's like an icebox.
Company
it's,
wants to cut costs. They should set the thermostat properly.
You can bill $7.
I need to bill $7.
That's what my gas company said, that it should be 65 degrees. That's freezing in a house in the winter.
It is cold.
It is. It is. Well, you know what happens now this time of year? Because the house holds the dampness. Even though it's like warmer, a little bit warmer out now, the houses stay damp. I noticed because of my engineering background.
This old house.
Yes. That's right.
Isn't it drier this time of year? What damp is it?
Dry, cold, hot, whatever you want to call it. It don't matter. Left, right, east, up, down, it don't matter. So my point is, Andrew, is that it's a little damper in the house. And now my house, it's so big, the sun doesn't even hit it. So I know it sounds weird. My house blocks any houses in the area from the sun. It's so tall. I have a very tall house and a very wide palatial estate.
Right.
So what happens is the sun just kind of goes over the house. It doesn't really hit the house.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. So that's what happens.
There you go.
That's what happens there.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful sight.
Anyway.
Who's the guy that worked on this old house? Norm.
No, it wasn't Norm.
Yeah, there was a guy
Norm
named Norm.
Norm was from Cheers, bro. Oh, yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
No, Bob Vila.
You're right.
Vila started. Then it was
you're right.
Norm.
All right, I got
Norm
it.
Norm was the woodworker.
You're right.
The guy who was in the shop always making the wood.
Yeah, woodwork.
Making, like, the tables.
Woody City. Yeah.
That's a drop, Pete. Taz got it.
I got it right away.
Go ahead, Bogus.
Here's your report, guys.
Norm.
Oh, how sophomore. Unbelievable.
Sponsored by Geico.
Poor Bogus.
Great news.
By the way, hold on. Before you talk about this great company called Geico, which I happen to love.
Mm-hmm.
On these other shows that you anchor as...
There's only one other show, yeah. Well, one and a half.
That is orange. Do you get a custom open like we gave you?
Not with music.
Oh, wow.
I have a custom verbal toss from DA.
Well, I'd like to, out of respect for my co-host, because I don't go into business for myself. I'm a team player. I would love it, Moose, if you would give the nod, because I would like to hear this.
I would like to hear that as well.
So I'm sure, this other guy works, he's on that show too, so he probably has it at his fingertips. Go ahead, play it. Go ahead, Pete. Don't give me the snarky
face.
He
doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it?
He has to go back and get it. Just throw it to him.
It's just a boring.
Oh, I thought it was a drop, wise guy.
No.
Okay, so it's just DA saying something.
Yeah.
What does he say?
It's a show joke. It goes
show
to,
joke.
Yeah.
Want from to share? I have a good sense of humor. So my partner.
It's a long story that involves someone calling
depending
me a kind
day.
Sir. So it usually is some variation of
You're
that.
Killing the joke, by the get to the point. What's the joke? I want to hear it.
I just told you the joke.
What's he say? Hello, kind sir.
Something like that. Yeah.
Shut up! Come on. All right. So that's what he says. Hello, kind sir.
Yeah.
And what do? We're playing you a song.
Right. It calls me white and nerdy. Yeah. It's racist and demeaning.
Oh, my gosh. It's not my idea.
Wait.
Like why would you take that seriously, Moose?
It's not my idea. I'm just telling you. Hello, I'm fast.
So DA, every time he introduces you, says what? Hello, kind sir?
Something like that.
So DA says hello, kind sir. We're playing a song.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, kind sir. He says hello, kind sir, and we're coming at you with this negativity of a song.
Yeah.
Moose, that's bad. That's horrible.
Just go.
Update,
just
right?
Take the update. We got a guest.
It's sponsored by Geico.
It's Kyle Murray.
There remains great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Could have done it by now. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The Golden State Warriors led by 14 in the fourth last night in Houston. They only won 106-104, but that's good enough to beat the Rockets for the first time in four tries this season. It also snaps Houston's 9-game win streak, a season-high 27 points for DeMarcus Cousins, despite multiple Rockets trying to defend him.
I don't think anybody can stop me one-on-one, period. So you can put whoever you want on.
Kevin Durant sat this one out with a sore ankle. Mikey B and I giddy about the Nets' start last night in OKC. The ending stunk. A 17-point lead became a 108-96 loss. Russell Westbrook, 31 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists. Utah 114-97 win in Phoenix, and the Heat used a 21-0 run to drop the Pistons 108-74. Miami's now two games clear of Orlando and Charlotte for eighth in the East, the Magic losing in Washington last night 190. The New Orleans Saints want to re-sign QB Teddy Bridgewater, and they're hosting free agents Jared Cook and Ziggy Ansah today. They need cash for all of them, so they've reportedly restructured Drew Brees' contract to create $10.8 million cap space. Brees gets the same amount of cash this year. His cap number for next season, though, rises to $41 million. The Patriot League, the latest conference to send a team to the NCAA tournament.
And the Raiders have just punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. Colgate men's basketball 94, Bucknell 80s, and the Raiders are romping and stomping their way to the NCAA tournament.
Their first trip there since 1996, which is where that radio equipment is from, Eric Malinowski, on the Colgate Raiders radio network.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's professional.
Actually, a beautiful campus.
Beautiful campus. Been to Colgate. Had a great football season, too. Now this.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Yeah. Appreciate it. Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Ryan Aber, covers the Sooners. Oklahoma was at the Kyler Murray Pro Day yesterday. Hey, Ryan, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We appreciate it, bud.
What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You got it, Ryan. What was, let's start, overall impressions here from what we saw, what we all witnessed yesterday at the Murray Pro Day?
Well, I thought that Kyler Murray did a really good job. And obviously there's only so much you can prove throwing against air, but he made all of the throws that he needed to make, completed, I believe the number was 61 of 67 passes, showed the speed of his release, showed his arm strength with some deep balls, and showed accuracy. So I think that he answered some of the questions that people had about him and sort of proved what we saw in film all year.
Well, Ryan, so I got to ask you, now, being that, you know, you were there, you were at in the facility there in Norman at OU. So Moose and I were talking about this earlier. We were kind of in agreement that it was a little not perplexing, a little surprised, I guess, that he didn't run. You know, that they didn't run a 40. You know, and he just basically said, "Hey, you see me run on film." Like, what was there any kind of scuttlebutt there in the building, or even your own personal opinion, like a little surprised that he didn't run?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, especially given the fact that he said in Indianapolis that he planned to run, but he didn't. We asked him afterwards, you know, what was the reasoning behind that, and he basically said, "People know how fast I am, and I didn't want to take the chance of pulling something before I threw." Now, I don't think there's any set reason why you would have to run and then throw. I guess you could run afterwards.
Right. They make the rules. They do whatever they want. It's a pro day, right?
Yeah. So although we would have had to go back across the street the way that they did those things, but what's the big deal of that?
Of course. Yeah.
So I was a little bit surprised, but I think more and more when you look at the way that these things happen, I would be surprised at this point if Kyler Murray's not the number one pick by the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, who knows if he's had, there's some agreement there, or he's been told that, but it just seems like more signs point in that direction.
You know, and listen, I can understand that. I get that. And there's a lot of buzz surrounding it. It's just a case of, you know, maybe we're wrong, but he did not get measured as well again, right? He did the measurement in Indianapolis, 5'10" and 8", and he didn't get it measured again yesterday, correct?
Yeah, the only thing he did measure wise is get weighed again yesterday and weighed in at 205, a couple pounds shy of what he weighed in Indianapolis. But, didn't do height or anything like that.
Yeah, but here's the one thing I would say, Ryan. Can anybody then, I mean, and I'm not trying to pick on Kyler Murray, and we love watching him, and I hope he goes on to have be a great quarterback in the National Football League. But then why even have to throw? I mean, couldn't he just show up and say, well, watch my game film. I can make all the throws. You see my arm strength on game film. Why the case of, well, I didn't run because you know how fast I am. You've seen it because I'm fearful of pulling something. But he's got to go out and make all the throws and do the necessary dropbacks. I mean, because, you know, one has everything to do with the other. I mean, if you're not going to run in Indianapolis, you would expect the guy to run in at his own pro day.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that to some extent, although I think that, you know, clearly throwing is where there's some concern about him with
sure.
his size and things like that. Obviously, you're not going to figure out whether he can throw at 5'9 when he's not throwing against with the linemen directly in front of him. But at the same way, I think everybody realizes that his speed, he's the fastest quarterback in this class and in a long time to come out of college. So the fact that his speed measures up to those guys isn't in question. It's the arm and everything that goes along with that. So I was a little bit surprised that he didn't run. He said that he would run in private workouts when he was asked to. But certainly that was the most anticipated thing of yesterday, would have been seeing what he was able to do in the 40. And also Marquise Brown, their wide receiver, was injured, so we didn't get to see him in the 40. And that's been a big thing here in Norman, is who's faster,
right.
Kyler Murray or Marquise Brown.
I actually saw them the coverage on NFL Network, and they were talking about that, and they asked Kyler Murray, who's faster, you know? And they asked Lincoln Riley, too, who's faster, you or Hollywood? And he basically, Kyler Murray didn't hesitate. He said, well, in a 40, I'll dust him. I'll beat him, whatever. But after that, I don't know, you know? And that's all fine and well. That's great. These guys are both lightning bolts. But, like, and you guys are all there. I mean, you were at the event, at the facility. Feel bad. A bunch of people there. You guys are there. And, they, you know, you get to see the guy throw for football for 22 minutes. You know, like.
Yeah, and that was, let's see, what, 3.5 hours, almost 4 hours into the event. Before he threw the football.
Wow. Dude, I got to ask you. You just saying that, were people a little annoyed that would add media and coaches that it went so quick?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, just the way that it went, it's a different kind of setup at OU this year as they did, or actually I think last year might have been the first year that they did it like that. But they have the testing and the bench and 40 across the street at their workout facility that's actually connected to the stadium and did all that because they've got measuring things and all kinds of technological deals in there.
Right.
And then we moved across the street to their indoor facility where they did some of their on-field work. The linemen went through their stuff first and then finally geared up for the Kyler Murray show about 4 hours later.
Jeez, man. Oh
you know,
man.
Ryan, what about the leadership aspect? We saw some of the criticism from Charlie Casserly after the interviews that Kyler Murray had out in Indianapolis with some teams, and he said a couple of teams reached out to him. What about the personality here of Murray, leadership-wise, work ethic, board work, everything, the criticism from Casserly? You know, do you think any of that is justified at all or no?
Well, you know, I've spent a lot of time talking to Kyler Murray's teammates, and not only on the football team, but guys on the OU baseball team as well. And I haven't heard a criticism one about his leadership amongst those guys. And, you know, it's not – obviously you wouldn't expect to hear guys criticize when they're talking to the media. But at the same time, there was a lot of comparing and contrasting with what Baker Mayfield did with the football players and how he handled it. Clearly, they're different styles and much different personalities. But at the same time, they said that behind closed doors, there's a lot of similarities in the way that they lead. I thought it was interesting. Yesterday, Cody Ford, a potential first-round offensive lineman, talked about how Kyler Murray never yelled at his offensive line after when he took hits, which was something that he said he'd never experienced before. So the guys who have played with him all seem to love him, and they pretty universally said that Charlie Casserly didn't know what he was talking about, at least in the leadership aspect of things.
Yeah, and that was kind of our take about the Cassidy thing. You know, when it first came out, we were like a little perplexed. Like, what the heck? Like, how would this guy be the success he is, this kid, Kyler Murray, if without having leadership skills? And it's tough to, if you're not in the room, you shouldn't say that about the guy. You know what I mean? It's tough to do that. But, so here's the thing, right? Now, his dad, Kyler Murray's dad, you know, great at Texas A&M, quarterback, he's a coach and all this stuff. I get it. And you know, I noticed he was on the field during the whole pro day. were anybody, like coaches or members of the media, when you guys were all there, was anybody surprised that his dad was actually on the field doing all that stuff?
No, not really. You sort of expect it. And actually, I think most of the guys' parents were at least around, obviously.
But this guy was on the field, like catching foot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was part of it. Like, you know, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, his dad. And
right.
His dad's been his quarterback coach forever. So
gotcha. Yeah.
Jim Zorn was doing the main workout part of things. But no, there was no surprise there. And I think that, you know, obviously, what Charlie Casserly said about his father being involved, or what people have said, there's been a lot of different things going on, but
yeah.
What people have said about Kevin Murray sort of being a helicopter parent, I think everybody knows that Kevin Murray is very heavily involved in Kyler Murray's football career, but everybody around OU has said that it wasn't an issue with them, and there was no attempt to interfere with what they were doing with Kyler Murray.
That's good. Well, that's good. Yeah.
Lincoln Riley has reiterated quite a bit.
Ryan, final one for me, and that is, obviously we spent a lot of time on the focus of Murray here. How'd the rest of the guys do? Taz mentioned Brown, certainly the tackle, the rest of the Sooner draft picks here coming out of that program this year.
Well, the two ones that you most anticipated were banged up yesterday with Marquise Brown and Rodney Anderson. Obviously, Rodney Anderson had a fantastic junior year before his ACL tear ended his season. But I thought the guy that really stood out yesterday outside of Kyler Murray was Curtis Bolton, a guy that wasn't at the combine. So he really needed to have a good pro day. Showed a lot of speed and agility in some of the shuttle drills and cone drills and things like that. So I think that he's a guy who's going to find a place in the NFL at some point. Is he going to be a high draft pick? No. But at least showed that he can do some of the things that he needs to do at the next level.
And which Sooner quarterback, so we all know, we can head out to Vegas, and who's going to win the Heisman Trophy next year, make it three in a row, Ryan?
Well, Jalen Hurts is going to be their quarterback, and obviously he's a guy with plenty of experience, so I don't think anybody would be surprised if Lincoln Riley is able to elevate him to that kind of level next year.
Hey, Ryan, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the perspective this morning. Have yourself a good Thursday, all right?
Thanks, yeah. Ryan. Thanks, Ryan.
Great one,
too. Bye-bye.
You got it. Ryan Aber, Oklahoman, covers the Oklahoma Sooners.
Right.
Jalen Hurts is out there. They've got a big high school recruit as well.
Yeah, well,
number one prospect coming out of high school. He said he'll be, you know, he'll sit the year, learn from Jalen Hurts. Remember, we discussed that
at the time. Yep,
so
yep.
That Oklahoma program continues to roll right along for Lincoln Riley out there in Norman, Oklahoma. The undercard, the stories we missed on the rundown. We'll get to those next. It's Taz, it's Moose, a Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Taz and the Moose, just talking away. Beats all you ever heard talking smack since the day they was born. Flapping their gums day after day. Well, there's all about the pride and there's also nationwide. Talking them sports, two bros yapping a while the rooster crows.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all right now at geico.com. Good job, clear the throat.
Sorry about that.
Let me clear my throat. All right, let's get to it. The undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mikey. Hello?
All right, sorry, multitasking didn't do a good job. All right, earlier in the show today, we had somebody tweet us about a caller we had that potentially sounded like maybe Ben Roethlisberger.
He was what? From Lima, wait a minute.
Ohio,
what?
Where Ben is from.
Okay. So you say he's from Lima, Ohio, where Ben is from, right?
So he was on the show. He thought maybe it was Ben. Here it is. Here is the caller. Then we'll play Ben Roethlisberger. First, the caller.
I was just going to call about the Browns. Like, if they would win the Super Bowl. Like, you guys saw all the videos and pictures of the Cavs winning, like, everybody downtown. Like, if the Browns win, there won't be a Cleveland anymore. It will be like a bomb went off in Cleveland.
So that was the caller. Here's okay. Ben Roethlisberger.
I had heard some mixed things about a knee, and then he wasn't really
definitely
there
him.
To get the opportunity to speak
definitely.
To him. Like I said, I reached out to him numerous times, called, texted, and tried to talk to him to find out what was going on, and just hadn't heard back. So I really couldn't get any answers for you.
Let me hear the first one again.
I was just going to call about the Browns, like if they would win the Super Bowl.
I don't think it's
his guys' voice.
You guys saw all the videos and pictures of the Cavs winning, like everybody downtown. Like, if the Browns win, there won't be a Cleveland anymore. It will be like a
maybe
bomb
it is
went
him.
Off in Cleveland.
Rob, the in the 3-2-1.
A knee, and then,
dude, that's him.
He wasn't really there to get the opportunity to speak to him. Like
Did
I
we
said,
get played?
I reached out to him numerous
got
times.
Worked.
Called.
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger got us by Big Ben.
The number's in the call log, so that number will be mine. We'll go from
no,
there.
No, but it doesn't matter. He could have called from a different location.
Why don't
location.
We call back and be like, are you Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, and he's going to be like, huh?
What? Well, we what? Should call back no. and just what? Be like, are you Ben Roethlisberger?
I mean,
like who?
You know, he's probably called from a fake number.
Rob in the 3-2-1 tweeted
us. We're going to look like grovelers. We do that.
Well, you know no, I mean? I'm just curious. Rob in the 3-2-1 hit us up on Twitter saying, you guys just got played, bros.
Wow, thanks for listening, Rob. I don't know. I think that might have been him. I think it might have been him. Big Ben. I mean, really. I mean, why? Just Ben, just say your name next time.
And then you're a big Mark, you're a Browns fan? He goes, no, I'm a Steelers fan.
He did say that.
You're right. He did say that. He did.
And he was smart because he never mentioned himself. Big Ben Roethlisberger
never
mentioned
himself.
And
then we asked him about Le'Veon Bell. He's like, no, I mean, look at the production of James Conner.
That's true. Oh, you're right. He put over James Conner.
He did.
Oh, you're breaking this down, bro.
Now,
where is his Twitter? I can't find
take
it.
A
I
vote.
Found
you
big...
think it's him. I'm a little 50-50. Mike, do you think
well,
it's him?
Well, I just looked up the area code from where this guy called from. Maybe he has a burner number.
He has a burner like you
it's
have
It's a
them.
Baltimore number.
Huh. That's not good. Oh, hold on.
To give away the rest of his number.
It could be.
I have a way, I believe, to find Ben's cell, and I will... The person's not going to give me the number, but I'll say, hey, is this the number you
bro,
have?
Bro, if you think Big Ben Roethlisberger is going to call a radio show from his own cell number, you're crazy.
No.
That's a good point, too.
Not going to happen.
Well, who does he know? Is his wife from Baltimore?
Well, how do we know who he knows?
Dun,
his wife's from Crab City. We got him! Yeah, so how do we know? I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, I can't even find his Twitter account.
I'm pretty sure his wife's a Pittsburgh girl.
How do you even know? I can't find this guy's
Originally
Twitter account.
Originally from Baltimore?
What's his Twitter account?
Because she was in a sorority anyway.
What the hell? What, Mike, what's his Twitter account?
Who? This guy's?
No. Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't know if he has Twitter.
Oh, that explains it. Yeah, he's doing burner phone numbers. He don't have Twitter. Yeah,
Sketchy
Jones.
I don't think it was him.
Yeah.
When I first heard the voice, I was like, I don't think that's him.
I think it's him.
And we asked him some questions at the end. He was like dumbfounded.
Well, that's what I mean. I think it was Ben.
They're like, I'm gonna.
Well, no,
Mike, good job. Yes, you should find out. Pete, fantastic, bogus. The thing is,
I guess we're done. I was trying to make a point.
10 seconds.
All right, have a good show. Have a good day, I mean. Great show. That's what I meant to say. We'll pick it up tomorrow. We'll have another conversation.
On to tomorrow.
Yes.
Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.